近いんですよね。
So whatever religious faith you embrace, it is very important to understand, to practice that by way of understanding what exactly this, the message of this religious faith is. And to be more precise, so in particular, with respect to Buddhism, it is always advisable, or it is always encouraged. You should be encouraged that you must have to have total understanding of the concept of Buddhism, and because of that, then you can generate faith in the Buddhist teachings. So it is always it should be the case that you study first the Buddhist concepts and then generate faith in it. So this element of the faith is something commonly being shared by all the religious faiths. So in the Muslim mosque, although you don't see anything inside the mosque, but still the people go there, the devotees go there, and they pay the respect and so forth. So here I mean to say that if you really embrace whatever religion you feel inclined to, so if you understand that well and then practice it, it should make the greatest sense. So among the audience, there could be some who are worshipping the Ishvaras, Krishna, Buddha, and so forth. So generally speaking, it's all right that this thing can be done. But if you reflect on well in terms of from Buddhist perspective, so especially on the concept of dependent origination, it should be absolutely uneasy to embrace all the other religious faiths in a blend, in a mixed way. So it doesn't mean that you are to disregard the other's religion, but the thing is that it should be always best to embrace the religious faith after understanding that so well. And as a Buddhist, it is always better to first of all understand the concept of dependent origination, and then by way of the understanding of this concept, dependent origination, then if you say I take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and so forth, so that would far surpass in terms of the quality from that of the devotee who without understanding dependent origination and saying I take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and so forth. So the kind of the faith that one generates in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha by way of the understanding of dependent origination would be very profound and deep. And whereas someone simply imitating someone else and then saying that I take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha without having perfect knowledge of the dependent origination would be just a mere emulation and a kind of fake. And that differs tremendously from the one who has genuine understanding of dependent origination. So, not only is the case that you find a difference here, but to the individual person, so someone having deep insight into the dependent origination, he would have a great sense of conviction, great sense of conviction or a satisfaction that, oh, indeed, so the very faith that I've generated towards Buddha, Dharma, Sangha is something very worthwhile and something very reasonable and so forth. So whereas if somebody takes refuge in Buddha, Dharma, Sangha without the proper understanding of dependent origination, so there this person won't have moral ethics based on this understanding or taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, because he wouldn't know it. He wouldn't know as to what are the things to be practiced and what are the things to be abandoned without the understanding of the dependent origination. So this is because of this that I've been emphasizing that the text be distributed to as many people as possible, even among the lay people. So during the time of the inauguration ceremony of this monastery, so I've been emphasizing that the philosophical standpoint or the intellectual learning of the Buddhism needs to be propagated among the Buddhists, encourage the ladies, even the ladies, to study the deep philosophical presentations of Buddhism. So I've been then looking for it, this monastery, that this could be the agent, or this could be the place, center, from which the Buddhist concept, the of dependent origination, so forth, be actually imparted upon the local people and all the people around this monastery or those places close by this monastery. So it is not necessary that to study the concept of dependent origination one has to be Buddhist. It's not the case. Even the non-Buddhist can also participate in this learning of the dependent origination. So this studying of dependent origination may not necessarily require a lama sitting on a very high throne and then teaching these things. Rather, it can be encouraged at the more conversational level, so people can group together and then discuss as to what this concept of dependent origination is, in what way this could be of benefit to us, whether Buddhist or non-Buddhist, at more mundane level even. So because there is a very common common view that studying Buddhism or Buddhist concepts are only the responsibility of the monks and more precisely the dialecticians. But this is indeed a wrong mistake. So we are now in the 21st century. So we should be a 21st century Buddhist and not something following the Buddhism by blind faith. So it should be something that should go hand to hand with the contemporary science. So after reflecting well and studying the Buddhist concept of dependent origination and so forth, then if you see that this could be of benefit to you, you can employ that in your practical daily practice, or if you find it useless, then you can just abandon that. But the priority thing is that you must have to have the study, have to be exposed to the study of the Buddhist concepts, the subtle concepts of dependent origination and so forth. So the essence of this textual matter is the view of dependent origination and the conduct of harmlessness or non-violence. So this view of dependent origination and the conduct of non-violence form the Buddhist teaching. So this basically then explains as to the value of the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. So go to page number 19, Tibetan text. The front page, the second line. Are you able to trace that? Are you sure? So the outlines, first identifying the objects and the reason why they are worthy of granting refuge. So first identifying the objects. If you want to rely on a source of happiness in future lives, desiring liberation, you should take refuge in those who are totally free of faults and in possession of all qualities, likewise in Dharma and the superior Sangha. So according to the Pali tradition, Buddha Shakyamuni, so So before he assumed the achieving of enlightenment at Bodh Gaya, so the Pali tradition agrees to say that he was a bodhisattva then. So just as it is said in the Lova or the Abhidhamma Kosh, so he it is not just kind of pretension or assumption, but he really achieved enlightenment at Bodh Gaya. So that is according to the Pali tradition. And whereas from the point of view of the Sanskrit tradition, so the Buddha Shakyamuni is that the Buddha has to actually understood in terms of the four different bodies of the Buddha. All can be classified in two different forms of the Buddha, or the three forms of the Buddha, four forms of Buddha, and so forth. But basically, they all spiral at the same point. But according to the Sanskrit tradition, it says that to achieve such a highly advanced level of the perfection of the Buddha, it is impossible that one can achieve such state in a single lifetime. So that needs to be culminated through the force of accumulating merit and wisdom for at least three countless aeons. So as such, we see that the resultant state is something very powerful, and if the course is something that you can accomplish within a single lifetime, it should be very trivial or insignificant as compared to the result. So we see the incompatibility or the two doesn't correlate. So as such, the best thing to say is that it is the mere assumption or the pretentious act of the Buddha Shakyamuni assuming to have achieved newly achieved enlightenment in Bodh Gaya. So from the Mahayana perspective, there is a mention of the four forms of the four bodies of the Buddha. So then this Buddha, Buddha Shakyamuni, is regarded as the emanation body. So if you trace the origin of this emanation body, it is the mere emanation of the enjoyment Buddha. And the emanation Buddha and the emanating or the enjoyment Buddha both come about through the wisdom body of the Buddha, the truth body of the Buddha.